Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention as they work on your return in real time. Experts can file as soon as today. Now, taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who gives your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. They can file your taxes as soon as today, and while they do, you get real-time updates on their progress so you can go about your day. Now, this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Don't stop.
With guest host, Bobby Bones.
Rich Eisen, he's calling me, that's cool.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
War Eagle, Duke is returning. And it's a great day to be a Florida Gator. H-Town are headed to the Final Four.
Today's guests, host of Mostly Sports with Mark Titus and Brandon Walker, Mark Titus. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Bobby Bones.
You guys can call us. We'd love to hear from you to tell us how dumb we are. 844-204-RICH. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call. 844-204-RICH with Chris Brockman and T.J. Jefferson. I do want to talk draft for a second.
What up, man?
And I want to bring on one of my favorites whenever it comes to the draft, Nick Baumgartner. And let's start. I want to start at number one, Nick. I want to start the number one pick. If you're the Titans, what do you do?
Man, it's a tough one. I've gone back and forth on the quarterback thing for them. You know, I mean, I feel like they just did this with Will Levis, albeit in the second round, a guy that's kind of like, we'll see. Not so sure that he's a slam dunk. I think Cam Ward's a better prospect there, but it's also kind of like, you know, they're not a good team. They're not in a good situation. Brand new GM. You're starting from scratch a little bit. I'm not sure that I go Cam Ward there if I can't trade out of it. But the one trick I would lean towards Abdul Carter, but the one trick there is with his foot. I'd have to get that cleared completely. But my gut there says Abdul Carter at one for Tennessee, but it wouldn't shock me if they go quarterback.
So they're not a quarterback away. And I live in Nashville and I'm there and I watch them lose for the most part. And the colors are slow. Everything about them right now is not. We have no hope. And if you listen to how people describe Cam Ward, they say if he were to be drafted last year, same exact guy, he probably wouldn't be above Caleb, wouldn't be above Jaden. And you get down to like those, you know, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix type guys. If he's not a transcendent quarterback that you could probably put your next 10 years on, and you are more than a quarterback away, why would you not try to get as many picks as you can from that and build toward the future? Because you're not going to be good next year either, which probably means you'll have another decent pick.
Yeah, the tricky part there is finding somebody to trade with, right? Because, I mean, there's not that many teams right now that I think are knocking doors down to pick a quarterback in this draft. Joe Shane just talked today at owners meetings, and really, I mean, he doesn't like to give his hand away, but it really made it sound like they don't like the idea of a quarterback at three. We know they just, you know, everybody's just, you know, made the mad dash to sign people. I just don't think this is a super strong group at the top. I mean, I don't dislike Cam Ward. I don't dislike Shedeur Sanders, but I think Cam is probably the one guy that I would feel okay about in the top 10. And you mentioned last year, like, I think he would have been in that range with like Penix, Nix, McCarthy, somewhere in that mix. But like you said, not above any of the dudes at the top right there. So it's a gamble no matter what you do. And if you're not a quarterback away, it's really hard to justify it right now. So it's going to be hard for Tennessee to make that trade, I think, too, depending on everything going on, unless somebody says, hey, we want to get Travis Hunter, we want to get Carter, you know, whatever it may be. That could happen as well. But, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Seeing a lot of mocks, it looks like Shedeur is falling, but not really for any reason. Where do you see him going if today the draft happened?
That's a good point. I don't know if he's falling necessarily or if he's sort of, if water is leveling. I think people got a little excited, as they often do with quarterbacks, especially after last year when we saw that many guys go in the top 12. But I've thought all along Shedeur is a fringe first round pick in this draft. It would not shock me if a team trades up into the bottom of the first to try to grab him. It wouldn't shock me if Pittsburgh, you know, who just made a signing with Fields there. If Pittsburgh does it and says, hey, take a year, we'll see what happens and grow into it. You know, the Jets could trade back up to the bottom of the first. The Giants could do the same thing if they wanted to. I just don't see him going in the top 10. I certainly don't see him going in the top five. To me, he's a back half of the first round, top of the second round player.
Nick Baumgartner on with us talking NFL draft. This is the draft of running backs. There, I saw like a list of 40 where they were like, all these guys are good. Where does the first running back go? Is it Ashton Jeanty? Where do you think Jeanty goes, and how many get drafted in the first couple of rounds?
Oh, man, great question. I think Jeanty's definitely a top 10 pick in this draft. I think it's going to be really hard. You know, a lot of people have pegged him to Dallas there as the fun one at 12. I think Dallas is going to have to trade up if they want him. I don't know if he's going to get past the Raiders there at 6. He's up there with Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. He's in that class of running back who in the last 10 years, we would say, those two, Saquon, you know, very few guys. And I think he's in that group where you can take him, put him on the field for all three downs. He can catch passes out of the backfield. He was a receiver in high school. He's played quarterback before, for crying out loud. Just an all-around outstanding football player who I think is definitely worth it, especially in this class. And then the best question of all is how many are going to go in like the top two or three rounds. I think Omarion Hampton from Carolina probably sneaks into the first round. Caleb Johnson, the kid from Iowa, is another one there that to look at. Judkins and Travion Henderson, I think, are day two guys. Judkins could even slip up into the first round. We'll see about that. So I think you're looking at like five or six at least that are going to go in the top by the end of day two, or at least have a shot at it, because this is a very deep group all the way down. There's some people that love Cam Scataboo, the kid from Arizona State. He's been getting some buzz lately too. So a lot of guys there that are battle-tested and can fill a role really well. And as we know, everybody in the NFL wants to run the ball again, so it's back in vogue.
You mentioned Scataboo. I read that he secretly, privately ran a 4.6 40. How secret and private do you have to run your 40, and why are you running it so secret and private?
That's like the ultimate question of this year's draft. There's been so many guys who skipped it, and it's like there's a Carson Schwessinger, the UCLA linebacker, is going to run in private in a couple of weeks, and I'm like, everyone's going to know this by the end of the day. I don't know. I think it's a lot of pressure that they put on themselves. Guys want to run it in a comfortable setting. A lot of guys are relying on the GPS data, even though there's a lot of teams out there that are kind of, you know, I don't know if I love the GPS data. So it's kind of become a cat and mouse thing there a little bit with the, I'm not going to work out, I'm not going to test, I'm not going to, you know, measure myself in some cases too. So teams are going to really have to rely on film as much as they ever have, which is always a good thing, but they're really, really going to have to do it this year.
Since the start of talking about this draft, there have been three players that have been, hey, this could be a possible number one pick, and that would be Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, and Travis Hunter. We're not hearing that about Hunter anymore. He's not a quarterback, obviously, and whomever drafts one is going to take a quarterback, we think. Travis Hunter, like, where is he now on the board?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of it depends on what happens with Cleveland at two. If Cleveland goes quarterback, let's say, you know, Abdul Carter goes one, let's say Cleveland takes Cam Ward. And then it becomes a question of, you know, if you're the Giants, is that an interest for you over somebody like Mason Graham? Could be. We'll see. And then if you're New England, I think at four, you're hoping and sort of praying that he falls to you because, you know, regardless of where he goes in this draft, he's still the best prospect in the class. It's just a matter of the positions that he plays are not two spots that, you know, but we're talking about two spots. They're not two spots that teams typically take number one overall. But a team like New England, I would think, could get all kinds of use out of him on either side of the ball, quite frankly. So I think somebody could get a steal here with Travis Hunter. And we say a steal usually in the like 10 or 12, but like top five steal for this guy, because he's probably the best player in the draft, no question. It's just a matter of positional value and what you need at this point.
I think measuring body parts is funny, especially when it becomes a story. And it happened with Kenny Pickett, and, you know, Kenny Pickett's got little hands. So, and then it, you know, didn't work out for him in Pittsburgh. And then you wonder, maybe it was his little hands. I don't know. But now we're seeing this with Will Campbell, and he's got little arms. So right. Little arm gate. How do you feel about this? How real is it?
Short arm gate. It's definitely real. But I think in this case, this is where you really got to watch the tape with a guy like this. His hands and his feet are outstanding. And to me, you know, when we talk about tackles and edge rushers with their short arms, another guy on the other side of the ball who had short arms was Aiden Hutchinson, kid for the Lions, who's been phenomenal because he knows what he's doing with his hands and his feet, and his effort never stops. And I think with Will Campbell, when you watch him on tape, he's as good and as dedicated a technician as there is in this class. He works as hard or harder than any offensive lineman, you know, in the group. And I think, yes, there is a question. The Rashawn Slater, the kid from the Chargers a couple years ago, had the same conversation. He's been a good player when healthy. It's more about your hands and your feet and if you know what to do with them. If you're a sloppy or raw prospect, which he is not, then, yes, the arm length would become a question. Like if you are Armon Membo, the kid from Mizzou, who's a little more raw than Campbell, who doesn't have a length problem. But if he did, that would concern me more. In Campbell's case, it really doesn't, because I think he knows what he's doing with his hands. I think he can play tackle in the NFL. And if somebody says he can't, I know he'll be an outstanding guard. And that's kind of the whole thing with him, is he's just going to be a really good football player one way or the other, I think. And it'd be wise not to overthink that one. No short arm gate with Will Campbell.
I wish we heard about guys who had really long body parts, like extra long legs and extra long arms.
Yeah, legs would be
like
cool.
That became a story. Like his legs are 7 inches longer than they should be, because this Will Campbell thing, he's a monster. And it's got to be weird for a guy that's been so big his whole life and has been so dominating to now what we think of him right this second is he's got a little tiny, like I think of like a Tyrannosaurus Rex arm. That's not proper because he's a but that's what I think of now.
I'm totally with you, Nick. Chris here. Like, who was the first person to decide that a tackle has to have 34-inch arms? Like, when did this become the baseline number?
I feel like if you go all the way back to like that Bill Walsh wrote that book that's like out of print right now, the Finding the Winning Edge. If you go online and look for this thing, it's like the real copy is like $120 because it's not around. He's got all the little lengths and desirables. And I feel like we've just devolved since then. And we go by the average, and 33 is sort of the standard of like, it's got to be at least 33. Well, what if it's 32 3/4? You know, and I think at the end of the day, all of it really comes back to what are they doing on tape? You know, how consistent are they with their hands and feet? And really, for me, offensive line wise, that's kind of the whole thing. The length, if you know what to do with it, is kind of an added bonus, is the way I look at it.
What quarterback do you feel like has moved himself into the first round that maybe we didn't think? It could be a Jackson Dart. It could be the kid from Louisville. Like, who is it for you that you think probably will show up now in the first round?
You know, it's a tough question there, but those two you mentioned, and I'm still not ruling out Jalen Milroe from Alabama there. He is easily the best athlete of this group, you know, and even including the guys at the top. I mean, Milroe went a 4.3 something, whatever it was, 40. He's got a huge arm. He's explosive. He's 230, just cut up. I mean, there's a picture from there. He is an outstanding athlete in space with a terrific arm and everything else that you could possibly ever need. It's just a matter of he's not a polished, you know, pocket passer. He really needs some time. And I do feel like if a team has the ability to say, hey, we've got a veteran bridge in here that we're not going to have forever, you know, Steelers, one of these other teams, and say, we want to get a guy that we can sit and develop on, because I do think that's going to have to become, NFL's not a developmental league, but the NFL is going to have to learn with some of these quarterbacks now and into the future with the transfer portal and everything else, you're not getting as much polish. So you're going to have to take guys sometimes that you have to sit and develop. And I think Milroe would be a guy based on the entire athletic profile that could surprise a lot of people and jump in there maybe at the bottom of the first, or at least still be QB3. You know, that comes off the board after Shadur, that wouldn't surprise me at all. And I almost feel like that's what we're going to see over a guy like Jackson Dart. And I love Tyler Shuck as well. And I hope people don't, you know, discount him. I think he's a terrific, sneaky athlete for him. But Milroe is really the guy there that's got all the physical tools that the right quarterback coach and the right system, I think, that can make that work.
Nick Baumgartner on with us talking NFL draft. If I give you over under on positions being taken in the first round, tell me over under. Let's go quarterbacks 3.5.
Under. I'll go 2 on that one, actually, right now.
Only we'll 2 quarterbacks in the first round. And so that's Cam and Shadur.
Yeah, I like Cam and Shadur in the first round, and we'll see if somebody goes up at the bottom. But, it's a logjam down there. It's going to have to be about preference. So either way, I would go under 3.5, 3 or 2.
Wide receivers, 3.5.
Oh, wide receivers, 3.5. Depends on what we call Mr. Hunter, but I would say over. I think we'll go over on that one.
How do you feel about T-Mac at Arizona? Like, his stock, at least just by listening and reading tweets, has gone up and down, big believers and big non-believers. Your thoughts on T-Mac?
Yeah, I think he's exactly where he was before the 40. It doesn't matter to me that whatever the time was. He's a big guy with terrific ball skills, knows long, like we just talked about. He's got all the metrics, measurables, whatever you want to call it, and he knows what to do with it. He's got a terrific catch radius. He's great in the air. I think there was also some talk that he wasn't necessarily all the way healthy last season. If you watch his tape from 2 years ago or year before last, whatever you want to call it, he was just, I mean, nobody could do anything with this guy. I think he's absolutely a top 10 pick still, or at least a top 10 player in this class, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in the top 10. Really like him a lot.
One more over-under, running backs, 2.5, first round.
Ooh, I think over. No, I'm sorry, under. I'll say under, but barely. Under, but barely. I think two are going to go and maybe a third. We'll see. But the running back class, again, it's one where teams will wait on this, right? Now, I'm not going to take one this year because we know we got a guy coming out next year. So there's a lot of teams in here that need a guy, and there's a few guys who you could talk yourself into here. So it would not shock me if it goes over, but I'll go slightly under on that one.
Final question for you, and I want to have you look into the future, into your crystal ball. Like, a crazy draft day trade that you could probably see happening because you're hearing whispers like a Cousins to the Titans or something like that.
Yeah.
What are you hearing that could possibly happen?
Well, that's one right there. I think that, you know, the guys at the top, what are Tennessee and Cleveland going to do at quarterback? I think that still remains sort of the big question for me. Are they going to try to get a guy like Cousins, or are they going to go in here and make something happen in the draft? I think that's the biggest one left. And I guess we'll see what happens with how Aaron Rodgers impacts everything else, too. But for the most part, I feel like the quarterback carousel has sort of, we know where it's at least settled on, and there's only two questions at the top that we have left. So I'm not sure if it'll involve necessarily Cousins, if it's something else. But that to me feels like the one last piece sitting out there is, do one of those teams at the top say, okay, we're going to put him in there, kick the can down the road, and then, you know, hope Arch Manning comes out next year, or one of these guys too. I think that's still going to be a factor with those teams at the top, is what next year's class could be in relation to what this year's class is.
Senior writer, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic, Nick Baumgartner. Nick, thank you for your time. Thank you for your analysis. We really appreciate it. Looking forward to the draft. I don't know that there has been this much, like, what the crap is going to happen in years. And I don't know if that's because nobody aren't as good generally, if there's only two quarterbacks. I just cannot see one of those quarterbacks, because quarterbacks are so in need, that somebody taking a flyer late in the first, like moving up late in the first round and getting
what I think, trade up. I think that could happen. I think that could be your third. Somebody trades up to the bottom of the first, gets a guy.
Nick, good to talk to you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys.
We're going to come back in a second, but what I would like to do, I don't know if it's possible. Do we have a tape measure anywhere near us? I would like to measure my arms. Now, literally, like, we're talking about the, like,
yes,
where am I?
I'm into this idea.
Because I don't, we're acting like he's the teeny tiny person, and I get it, NFL standards, but still, like, what are my arms? Are if 38, what were Kenny Pickett's hands?
Like, how they were like 8¾.
How do I compare to the tiny hands and tiny arms of the NFL? That's what I wonder. And I'd like to, okay, we have somebody coming in.
RJ, you got it? You got one?
Okay. I literally was texting RJ right now.
Oh, we have a bunch. Yes, we're doing this.
When we come back, we will measure things on me. Okay, thank you.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Let's talk about Live Good, folks. Live Good is awesome. I always feel like I'm at my best with Live Good, and what's better than that? Because Live Good believes that everyone deserves access to high-quality supplements without the insane markups. They offer premium products formulated by an industry-leading team of natural health experts, and they cut out the middleman to sell them at some of the lowest prices anywhere. They have organic super greens, multivitamins, I take those, collagen, weight loss products, protein powder, creatine, detox, hormone products, skincare products, all highest quality products at prices people can actually afford. Ready to make the switch and start saving? Well, we'll make it even easier for you. Use our link and you can save an additional 10% off your first order on top of the already lowest prices. Just go to livegood.com/rich to save 10% on your first order. That's livegood.com/rich. Don't miss out on this opportunity to invest in your health without overspending. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Let's talk Game Time tickets, people, because it's a perfect time of year to do so. So many great things happening in the world of sports. The college basketball tournament, playoffs are starting soon in basketball and hockey. Baseball's kicking off right now. And if you want to see some of this action live, and why don't you, the best place to start is Game Time. Because Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. And the curation that makes it easier to find better value for tickets, it's not just for sports. There's concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with Game Time, you get the lowest price guaranteed, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
There you are, you're clapping.
Yes, you're clapping.
Oh, he's sweating. He's
sweating.
Wait a minute. Brow.
So he made it out of contestants, Ralph?
Yes. Yes,
he made it out of contestants.
I'm going to do a car! Yes! TJ can win a car!
Let's go!
It's amazing!
All right, Master Key is the game. Master Key is the game.
Oh, my gosh.
This is going to take a while. Okay, here we go. Oh, popcorn machine.
Oh, I'll take that if you want that, TJ.
By the way, you've got to bring in this popcorn machine if you win.
Yeah.
I want this popcorn.
Want
$41. $41. It's not a $71. $41. It's $41. That's one key. Grab the key. Take the middle key. Take the middle key. There's five keys.
Yes.
He takes the middle key. Oh, he's not looking. He takes the second to the right key.
I didn't look.
That's right.
Here's another key. Here's a basket. $584. That's a $58 basket. It's not an $84 basket.
No way.
What's in it?
You got to get what's in it, too. It's an $84 basket.
It's an $84 basket.
Here's where I messed up. I listened to
That's an $84 basket.
I listened to the people.
Come on, TJ.
TJ.
84. No, it went 58.
58. No!
No! TJ!
Oh, he only has one key.
We need to find a friend.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, TJ. It's an $84 key.
Uh-oh, Master Key. Right.
Does it unlock the...
Does it unlock?
Coffee maker.
No coffee maker.
Okay, he's going to unlock the electric bike. No. Okay, all right. Does it unlock the car?
Oh, my God.
Does it unlock the car?
Let's go.
TJ. Does it unlock the car?
Oh,
Does it unlock the car?
Does it unlock the car?
He's turning the key. No! TJ!
I've seen that five times now, at least. That's always fun.
The heck with Master
Yes,
Boss.
That's
Sorry,
always
TJ,
fun.
You got screwed.
844-204-RICH, if you guys want to call us. Thank you for being here. I know that Rich isn't here. I know that because I'm here. I'm Bobby Bones. But welcome back to the Rich Eisen Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. I text Chris this morning. I was like, please don't feel like you can't do what you normally do, because it's my favorite thing. It's Overreaction Monday, so let's do it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Hey.
What's up, everybody?
I'm ready for some overreaction.
How you doing, Bobby? You good?
I'm feeling pretty good.
You look great.
I've got my Cubs cardigan on. I'm trying not to overreact the fact that we're like 2-4. We lost the games overseas.
Yep,
we expected to suck, but I'm still feeling positive.
You're a white tea guy, right? You wear a lot of white tees?
Are you leading me somewhere?
Nope.
Okay, yes. The answer's yes.
Okay, good. I knew that. I just knew that about you.
That's a weird question to ask.
But you
ask.
Got that, like, big bopper look. You know, you like the large frames and the white tee.
Big bopper? Like, hello, babe. That big bopper?
Yeah.
Like, Chantilly
Lace. R.I.P. Yeah.
Pretty face.
That's an ultimate reference, and shout out to you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I got you. Jay Felly, what's up, man?
Hey, what up, Chris?
I hate you.
So you're saying he looks like Buddy Holly, is what you're saying.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Buddy Holly, yes. Not the same. Not the same.
And all those guys are the same.
Great offense. I feel like I am the hybrid baby of Buddy Holly and Rivers Cuomo from Weezer.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
Because I was a terribly nerdy child, and I saw nerds who were cool. Therefore, I am.
Well done.
Thank you.
You know who's not cool?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, wow.
And the thing is, you had texted me this morning about, hey, let's do overreaction, and we had already planned on it without speaking to you. And then you did your Rodgers top five, and this is mine. Aaron Rodgers is not going to play football in 2025.
I feel like that's an overreaction. I feel like he has to have oxygen, and he has to show up on a field in some way to have oxygen. I feel like he may kick the can and make us talk about him. But why would you feel like he wouldn't play at all?
I feel like what's going on? Why are you taking so long?
Like, but he's done this before. This isn't the first time.
But here's the deal. Like, last time it was like I went to the darkness and I was 90% retired, and then I went to go. Then I was like, oh, I must play for the Jets. That didn't make any sense then. It doesn't make any sense now. And you're running out of spots.
Did you ever see
that? I feel like Pittsburgh is going to come to their senses and be like, we don't want this guy.
Or they're just going to have to come to a deadline. I mean, senses and deadline are like, if he's not ready to go, we can't sit here and wait forever. But you mentioned the darkness retreat, and I think that's funny. But did you ever see the behind the scenes where it really wasn't dark the whole time? Like, he actually had a light he could turn on in there?
So it was all crap, right? Yeah.
All him's crap. But it was like not just all dark. I do think it is a slight overreaction. I think he may not play at first. But even whenever guys hold out, let's say not even Aaron Rodgers, but let's say they hold out from camp and they hold out, they miss a game or two, they never actually come back and are who we hope they would be because their bodies aren't physically there. And I think that's what would happen with Rodgers if he waited to the last minute. He's not working out with the receivers. Let's say he waits to see what's happening in San Francisco. He's not going to be probably as sharp as he would be had he been with a team. But I think he plays somewhere.
TJ, yes or no?
You know, what you just said makes so much sense. If you know that you're going to play, then sign with a team and start working on that rapport, right? Start working on that timing. All this time that he's taken, it doesn't make sense. So I think ultimately he will end up playing, Chris, whether he signs at the beginning of the season or whether it takes an injury maybe to pull him in. But I feel like we will see him in 2025.
A lot of new quarterbacks in the Big Apple for 2025, right? And they both might draft. Jets and Giants might draft players as well. I would expect them to. Justin Fields, though, is the best quarterback in New York.
I would agree with that. I think Justin Fields can be a really good quarterback. I still do believe that. I think whenever you're a guy like a Justin Fields who plays Ohio State and everybody around you is awesome, I think you look a little more awesome. And you probably aren't able to get to how good you could be if you were to have played at a lesser school because you get to rely on those receivers. At Ohio State, like, he could just throw the ball up in the air. But I think Justin Fields, we see glimpses. With the Bears, we would see glimpses. With the Steelers, heck, he actually started and played pretty well at times.
4-2.
Is still young. I think Justin Fields, the worst thing about Justin Fields is that he's a Jet now. He's just going back. It's another bad franchise. But I do think Justin Fields can be a good starting quarterback. So I say, I feel like he's the best quarterback in New York.
Yeah, Aaron Glenn, TJ, said that Fields is ready to break out as a top-notch quarterback.
All right. I'm ready to see it.
Do you think he's going
to
break? I mean,
because he has one of those wide receivers.
He's got Garrett Wilson.
Does anyone
he has
break out with the Jets? Breakout's tough to go with the Jets.
It would be the first time, I think
that's the
breakout with the Jets. I guess you never know. Let's stay with the actual team that plays in the state of New York, the Buffalo Bills. We've been talking a lot about the last couple of years, running backs, the devaluation of the position, and then you saw what Saquon did last year. I think the Bills are making a big mistake not paying James Cook. There's a report out there that they are not close. They're not even talking about a new deal. They're going to kind of let this ride out. I think this is a dangerous game they're playing.
I think unless you have a Saquon-type back that can do many things, Saquon, McCaffrey, and both those guys have injury histories, although Saquon's been healthy the last couple of years for the most part, I think it's tough to completely reverse course on backs aren't valuable. And so I think if they can't see James Cook doing it at multiple levels, then yeah, it's pretty easy to just grab another back. I think it's just internally what they feel like he can provide. I don't now think backs are super important. I think you can still plug and play about half the league with about half the backs. But unless you have that McCaffrey, Saquon, Derrick Henry, because I think Derrick Henry did a lot to the offense in Baltimore. Now he doesn't catch a bunch of balls, but he opens up a lot of things. I think unless you have that, you don't use a lot of your cap in the running back. So I don't think the Bills are making a big mistake.
Ooh. Yeah, Brandon Bean's quote was, I don't see us doing any deals anytime soon. So doesn't look like James Cook's going to get his money, but
Buffalo needs a lot of things, too. And it may not just be a James Cook issue.
True.
Buffalo needs, they need a defense. Like, they need, so I can understand, let's say you get 75% of what a Cook is in the backfield, but also you're able to supplement your defense a little bit. Like, I think a bit you have to look at it strategically. And then there's also just the game of negotiation, yeah, which is probably what's happening here publicly.
Yeah, seems like it. How about this one? Let's move on. We were just talking to Nick about it, the NFL draft. I think this is where we're at right now. After Cam Ward goes first overall, we don't know anything about this NFL draft. Full crapshoot.
I completely agree. Like, what would you? Who do you think goes to right now?
Right now?
Right now.
Ugh.
Exactly.
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, right? It's a complete crapshoot. Here's my Travis Hunter question for you. As a Patriots guy, do you want Travis Hunter?
Oh, God, yes.
And what do you want him to do? Why do you want him?
I want him to play wide receiver.
Okay, but now he's 65% defensive back. You know, he goes, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, but if he's the best wide receiver in this draft and he's the best defensive back. And if you look at the main need for New England right now, it's a true number one game-changing wide receiver. He can be that, and then he can also play, you know, 40% of the game on defense, which we don't really need him, but that's a strong area for New England's defense right now with Christian Gonzalez and what they've done in free agency and Kyle Duggar back there. And so he can supplement those guys, third down, nickel, whatever, and then really focus on being, you know, the next Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, etc.
What do you want him to do as a fan? Do you want him to try to play both ways, or do you want him to be an awesome receiver?
No, I want him to try to do both. We've never seen it before. He was the story of college football. We've never seen TJ, a guy like this, play out there. We've seen guys kind of dabble, but not 100 to 120 plays a game and just be the best player in college. I want him to try to do it. It would be so cool, and I think I don't think there's any reason to question that if he could. It's just, will a team let him?
One more question about your Pats, because I'm fascinated with you drafting at the top of the draft and not trading back for 72 other picks, because my entire history of learning about the Patriots in the draft is we got a top, but let's just trade and move down. Do you want them to draft at the and take a top player, or are you trained to also think you can win championships by drafting a lot of players?
A lot of holes, a lot of needs. It's like a Noah's Ark situation. We kind of need two of everything. Will Campbell has been slotted there for a long time, but is he the fourth overall player in this draft? Probably not. I love him. I love him on a trade down situation. If the quarterbacks do go in the top three, then the New England is going to get either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. That would be awesome. Stick and stay. Take one of those two guys, because they can transform your team, you know, in the ways that dynamic players do at the top of the draft. But if they are both gone, then it's make some calls, see if you can move down, add a few extra picks, and kind of go from there. That's my sense of it right now.
The foot injury with
I didn't like that sigh out of you. You're not an Abdul guy.
No, I am. Sure. I don't know the difference in whenever they are like gaslighting us on, like, you go back to Shadur and they're like, his interview was terrible. He just, when they're gaslighting us so players fall, or if they really have issues.
Yeah. I mean, it's lying season. So you can't believe anything.
Yeah. So that was my sigh.
I understand.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Two more. Speaking of Colorado, sort of in a weird way. You see, Deion got a new deal out there, TJ. Did you see that in Boulder?
Please believe it.
Oh, my goodness. Five years, they open up the bank. They just found some money. Did they find gold in them hills in Boulder? Because they got money to pay Deion now. TJ, I know you believe this. Colorado will play for the national championship in the next 5 years.
I've already said that.
Oh, you're out of your mind. Oh, I thought I was going to let him talk more. You already, that is your thing?
Oh, yeah, I completely believe that.
Oh, wow. I not because I don't think Coach Prime couldn't. I don't think he'll be there 5 more years.
Oh, that's the hot take.
That's not even that hot. I would think that.
Why not?
If I feel like he'll be an NFL guy in the next couple.
I think based upon everything he says and the way he teaches and wants to lead young men, I feel like college is the best place for him. It's a lot harder, I feel, to get to some already. And mind you, these college kids are getting paid, right? But not like professionals, guys who already have the routines and they're already like there. And I feel like he's better served to get them at the beginning of their career to help put them on the right path. And I feel that's where his teaching and his coaching is best well served. So I kind of hope he stays. But
I feel you, but I would just like to say two words. Dallas Cowboys. You think that situation staying as it is going into this year? I don't. And imagine a couple more years of losing. You don't think they're going to go to Deion first with a couple more years of success at Colorado? And I think he would go and take that job.
Can I ask you a question?
I would love it.
Would that make sense for the Cowboys to do it?
It doesn't matter. The Cowboys do nothing that makes sense.
You personally, does it make sense?
The Cowboys do nothing that makes sense.
Okay, well, then you just took my answer. Yeah, because if it makes sense, then I guarantee we're not going to do it because we don't do things that make sense,
Let
Bobby.
Me present one other counter. I know, but I don't want to. This is morbid because it was so. Jerry Jones doesn't have a lot longer to live.
That's morbid. You're right.
It is morbid. And so I think things start making
disrespect.
I know. No, he's been awesome to me. Yeah. But I think things start making a little more sense once the nonsensical folks are not around anymore.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean,
and here's a half baked, half overreaction, half what I actually think take. What team drafts Shador? That coach is immediately on the hot seat, and that's going to be Deion rumor time. Because Deion, really, look, if you're him, you're only going to go to the pros if you can coach Shador, right?
Or be the Cowboys head coach. I'd give those two.
Those are your two options?
Yes.
So say he goes to Cleveland. Say he goes to the Giants. Say a mystery team we're not really thinking about. The Raiders are talking the extension for Geno Smith, so I don't know if that's a viable situation. But a mystery team that trades up in the 20s, maybe. That coach is immediately on the hot seat. Immediately. And I'm wondering if that's, you know, that's a future Deion spot down the road. But, you know, look, 5 years for Colorado. He's got a 5-year extension. It's a $50+ million. I think he sees that out.
That's very
something
interesting.
Crazy happens.
I would like to amend what I said. If they do go ahead and win that natty, like I think
maybe he bolts after that.
Well, then all bets are off. Okay. And then maybe he does go.
Do you feel, and I never thought this until you said that, Chris, and I think that's why you're an award-winning, astute part of this show.
Award-nominated, thank you.
Sorry, I mispronounced winning. So do you think that there would possibly be a coach that is involved in the decision-making with the general manager who probably leans away from taking Shador because he doesn't want that heat to be on him, and only for that reason?
100%.
Never thought about that.
But think about this. If the Browns, for some reason, take Shador, do you really think Deion's going to leave Colorado to go coach the Browns, even if his son's there knowing the history? I don't know, man. You're giving up a
son.
If you win a Super Bowl with the Browns, are a god forever.
I get crap because
I know we're still waiting. I know we're still waiting
30 years, even though we do have 5 of them things, but they never come close.
I get
to
it.
Ever
I
win,
get it,
bro.
They've never played in a Super Bowl. Totally understand. All right, last one. And again, Bobby, this is why we're friends. This is why we are long lost brothers on the day the music died. You hit on this earlier. We started the show with it. This has been the most boring March Madness ever. I'm not into it.
I would say I agree. That is not an overreaction, but I will also say that I live in Tennessee, and that is one of the states where you can legally gamble on your phone.
Sure.
And that makes it a lot more interesting. So just for the games itself, I would agree because you
not
love
in California.
Yeah, I know.
Is that why you have that Tennessee area code?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
and VPNs don't work. I tried. They kicked me off that thing.
Yeah.
So I would agree.
TJ, I've tried.
In a vacuum, you are absolutely 100% right. Not in a vacuum where some states have the ability to get on your phone. It has been so exciting.
By the way, this is a stat that you'll appreciate then. Favorites in the Elite Eight, at Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, or 12. 12-0.
Favorites as in money line or favorites as in
favorites as in covered the spread.
Wow.
Public is cleaning up.
Yeah, I'm not public then, if
public
I'm being honest.
Public is cleaning up.
I'm not public. I haven't cleaned up.
Yeah.
I've like mildly mopped up a couple aisles here and there. And the fact that I got Auburn pre-tournament for worst
odds.
Yeah, plus 400.
Yeah.
I put money on Auburn. I'll tell you, I put $1,000 on Auburn to win the whole tournament at plus 400 that pays $5,000. It's a plus 450 right now. If I were to bet the same money, I'd make more. I have never seen that. But that's got to be because Duke looks unstoppable, right?
I got Duke 10-1 in November. Thank you.
Okay. That's another sigh of me just being such a loser. That's a white t-shirt sigh.
No, you look great in a white t-shirt.
And then Houston, defensively, like defense travels.
Yeah.
Again, how are you going to score on those guys? But I agree with you. It has been boring to just the viewer of the games.
By the way, since you mentioned it in the first hour, Auburn's now 5-1.
Well, nice. Well, I can't bet here. Oh my God! You know, by the time I get back home, that will change. Okay. Is there like a Chris did an awesome overreaction Monday? Do we play one of those?
No. Rich usually complains for about 20 seconds about how I said hello to everyone to start the segment. But hello, everyone.
Why? Who
we
is
should every- end it with that. That's actually a good way to end it.
Yeah, that's always been my favorite.
Who is everyone that you would be complained about? Like, who's it? Like, people listening or all of us in the room?
No, Rich complains. He's the only one. So normally overreaction is like, hey, it's overreaction. Mm-hmm. And I say, hey, what's up, everybody?
Oh,
and then I say hi to Jay. Yeah. I say hi to TJ. Rich is like, there's 20 seconds. Yeah, we'll never get back.
But he doesn't like that. So now Tom Pelissero does this thing when he, every week, he says hi to us. Did you notice that Breer started to do it? Rich is going to lose his mind if Breer starts saying hi to us, you know. I think he wants us to thrive, Bobby, is what I'm saying.
Extremely inclusive, and I think we all felt a little better after that. So thanks for doing that, actually.
I think so, too. Yeah, you're welcome.
20 seconds. I'd like repeat it later if we could do that.
We can do that.
All right, awesome.
White t-shirt, you know.
All right, now time for a sports update. Here is Rick Ackerman.
Let's start with Bobby Boucher, and we'll put our own Rich Eisen Show draft profile up.
Boucher primarily lines up as an off-the-ball linebacker. However, they will use him off the edge in some obvious passing situations. Against the run, he's very aggressive to fill and attack blockers. Doesn't use his hands to shed, preferring to simply lower his shoulder and power through blocks. Has the range to make plays sideline to sideline. He's an outstanding blitzer, showing timing burst and a violent finish.
Yep.
He will need to abandon the drop kick at the next level. I don't see him being the primary signal caller or communicator, but his play instincts are exceptional. Overall, Boucher plays a lot bigger than his size, should be an immediate impact player on day one.
Wow. Interesting. Moving on to Johnny Utah. Quarterback of the Ohio State University.
Utah's a wild card in this draft. Doesn't have a lot of film. Has average athleticism and an awkward three-quarter left-handed delivery. His best traits are his toughness and competitiveness.
Yeah.
Never gives up on a play. He'll fight for every yard as a runner. He's a little too high on the board for me right now.
Okay.
He's got to go down. It's got to be that way. I would consider hiring him after his playing days are over. He could have a long career associated with the game, either an outstanding coach, a prominent scout, or a special agent.
Okay, next up, Willie Beeman, quarterback, University of Houston.
Sure. Beeman, a little bit of a late bloomer. He's originally a seventh-round pick, bounced around to four different teams. He's since settled in and emerged as a dangerous playmaker as both a passer and a runner. He's at his best when the play breaks down, using that athleticism to extend plays while keeping his eyes downfield. His immaturity is an issue, and I believe there is something to the rumors about his poor relationship with his star running back. I think it's important for his coaches to understand how to best use his skill set. The lack of RPOs is a major mistake. He'll excel in the right system and should emerge as the best player in the league. He's my number one player.
Wow! Last one, I'll be honest with you, I'm partial. One of the greatest kick returners I've ever seen from Alabama, Forrest Gump.
Gump is a dynamic kick returner for the Crimson Tide. He's made an impact in plays in every game that I've studied. He's the definition of straight line fast. Lacks elusiveness and make missability, but it doesn't seem to matter. He gets up to top speed immediately and destroys pursuit angles. I like to see him involved in the offense because I believe his speed would play well on jet sweeps, reverses, and vertical takeoff routes. The trainers told me that he's had some durability issues as a young kid, but they haven't had any issues at Alabama. The head coach worries about his ability to learn and grasp concepts. He even actually referred to him as a stupid SOB when he was talking to me. Right. I wouldn't be ping-ponging him back and forth between positions. He'll be a good soldier, provided he's surrounded with a good lieutenant, and I'd be shot in the butt to draft this kid.
Wow. Jeremiah.
Well
this
done.
It's why we DJ. Called you, DJ.
Bobby Bones and for Rich Eisen. I do. Can, would it be sacrilegious to use the eight ball for a second?
Is this, no, okay. Not at all.
So will Aaron Rodgers sign with the Steelers? The eight ball says don't count on it.
Oh.
What's the eight balls like? Is it off and right?
1,000.
Wow, that's 1,000.
Eight ball bats 1,000.
Okay. Will the Titans select Cam Ward at number one?
Pro baller Lonzo Ball for Buzz Balls. Ready to go cocktails. Take 12.
Buzz Balls just dropped their biggest blue balls.
Script says Biggie's blue balls, Lonzo. Take 13.
Blue Balls just dropped their biggest buzz balls.
Let's try a vocal exercise.
Buzz Balls, Biggie's blue balls, Buzz Balls, Biggie's blue balls.
Big balls just dropped. Get blue balls this season with Buzz Balls.
Please drink responsibly. Buzz Balls available in spirit, wine, and malt. 15% alcohol by volume. Buzz Balls, LLC, Carrollton, Texas.
It's time for basketball, and Uber Eats is dropping deals on game day favorites to keep you locked in on the action. Like when you're craving a buzzer beater, but also buffalo wings. Or when an upset makes you want to ugly cry into a pizza. And right now, Uber Eats has game day deals from McDonald's, Popeyes, Pizza Hut, Wendy's, and hundreds more local favorites. So you can keep your eyes on the ball and your hands on a hamburger. Order now, only on Uber Eats. Product availability varies by region. See app for details.
My feeling is no. Is this the most negative eight ball ever?
Wow. Is that a reflection of your aura right
maybe
now?
Maybe it is. Maybe I'm just so, so negative. No, my aura is not negative, but if you guys all wear white t-shirts tomorrow, I already know the gig. I heard somebody whispering it.
Oh, dang. I heard the gig.
This
was a little loud. That was me. I was a little loud.
Yeah. 844-204-RICH.
I don't have glasses, though.
Want to be a part of the show? That is true. Good for you. Hey, your vision's good. Good for you.
It's not. It's failing.
All right. Welcome back, Bobby Bones, in for Rich. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IHS Top Safety Awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IHS Top Safety Awards from 2006 to 2024. I pulled up a list of athletes that have been criticized for small physical attributes. And we were talking about Will Campbell earlier with the short arms.
Yep.
If they're short at all. But here we go. This is the list that I've made. I mentioned Kenny Pickett and the hand size. We heard about that before the draft.
Yep.
Was it 8.5 inches?
It was under 9, okay. Which is obviously bad for a quarterback.
And Will Campbell's short arms, 32-ish?
And, well, it was 32 5/8. Okay. And then at his pro day, it was 33. He miraculously gained 3/8 of an inch.
To me, that would just be hanging in the closet on that bar, like yeah, nonstop. Yeah. You know, the bar that holds your clothes. Yeah. I'd just be hanging nonstop. Bryce Young, small frame, 5'10", 190. So that was a part of it. We went and we talked to Bryce Young, like right after he was drafted, did an interview. And he told us that he ate so much right before he was weighed in. Like he ate so, so much to put on an extra 10 pounds to be over 200 pounds, which I thought, appreciate that insight.
It's like the reverse wrestler move.
Devonta right? Smith, slim build. You know, small.
Some built, yep.
Kevin Durant. I mean, remember coming out of college, like, he's so skinny.
He couldn't even bench the bar or something, right?
Yes.
Or like 135 he couldn't do.
Kyler Murray, which height.
Yep.
They list him at 5'10".
That's generous.
I feel like it's a bit generous, too.
Yeah, we met him at that Atlanta Super Bowl, and he was wearing like really thick-soled Air Force Ones. Remember that, TJ?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I do that whenever I have to go to the doctor and get height measured because I need to show my wife that I'm 6'1". So I will wear my absolute thickest shoes because she constantly says, you're not 6'1". My driver's license says it. My doctor says it. So I will. And you know what? Honestly, barefoot, I'm probably not 6'1". Yeah. But you know, but every record, every legal record I have says 6'1".
Well, then legally you are. It's like Costanza. Remember when Costanza met that one woman wearing Timberlands?
Yes.
And he had to wear them all the time?
When he went to the wedding in India.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, too small, too skinny.
Worked out fine.
Drew Brees, small height.
Yeah.
And then finally I have Nate Robinson, small everything.
Oh, poor.
But he ended up winning three slam dunk contests. He was a legit NBA player.
By the way, that was when the slam dunk contest took a turn.
Fair. Yeah, that'd be fair. I want to measure me, though.
Right now?
Yeah.
Let's go.
So I'm curious. Like, I'm not trying to get drafted yet. Probably have another year or two to develop fully. But so you want to do hands? And do you know the official way to do this, Chris? Chris is walking over to the desk.
Yeah, I don't want to get too close to you, but no,
I just did.
Jay Felly,
you were gonna kiss me.
Wow. Jay Felly literally said, "Make sure you're talking to the mic."
Yeah, not okay, that close.
So I stretch my hand.
Yeah, as long as you can.
So can you?
It's tip to tip of your pinky and thumb.
That's don't what tell me the answer when you do it. I want the reveal once you're done.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. I'm turning my head. Oh man, that feels like a big hand. That feels like a massive hand.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, and so now we do. Arms? Do you need to write it down?
No, I got it.
Oh, it's not shoulder to tip. It's like...
Well, I was going to do...
I'm fully reaching out like I'm on the front of the Titanic,
yeah,
you know?
I'm doing your wingspan.
Yeah, whatever that part of the movie is where it's like, oh, I can fly.
Hold on.
I think I might cramp. Dude, I'm in like my 40s now. This hurts to hold.
All right, got it.
Okay, is there anything else we need to measure?
Well, that was your wingspan. You want to do the actual arms?
Yeah,
I don't know how...
Oh, yeah, let's do
I don't know how they do the arm, but is it tip?
I think it's let's do back of shoulder to tip, generous a couple inches. Okay, we're
back of the shoulder. Okay, I got it.
All right. And what was pick? Let's say Kenny Pickett was 8.5. What do I have?
I'm gonna go sit down.
Okay,
you don't have to get that close.
No, I didn't mind it. I felt
that was uncomfortable.
Sharing a
man.
Desk, that was nice. He's walking back to his desk now, and
okay, hand. What is your guess?
It's unfair because I think of a tiny hand as being 8.5 because I've been conditioned to think that way from the draft a few years ago. But me being a 6'1" man, about 175, I would say 7.5.
Your 8.75 hand.
Wait a minute. I'm basically, I got bigger hands than Kenny Pickett?
Yeah.
No way. Okay, let's go. All right. And let's go total wingspan.
Total wingspan, your guess is... So the wingspan is generally supposed to be your height.
Oh, 6'1", no doubt.
Allegedly. Yeah. Now, your wingspan is 70 inches.
Oh, that's not even 6 foot.
Which is, not even 6 foot.
Blocked this from my wife.
A little under 6 foot.
Make sure she doesn't hear any of this.
And then your arm...
Can I get a I need a recount on the arm stretch.
Maybe we can do it in the break.
Okay.
And then your arm length...
Yeah.
Do you want to go over or under Will Campbell?
There's no way I'm Will Campbell. He is a monster. So, but how tall? It's got to be under. And if Will Campbell was, 38, is that it was?
No, Will Campbell was, 32?
32.
Well, 33. We'll say 33.
And normal's 38, maybe, for like that position. Is that what they say?
Normal's like 34.
Okay. Well, I'm 38 then. That's why it keeps coming to my head.
I got you 32.5.
I'm based. Let's go. Hey, those are pretty strong.
Yeah. We might have to redo your wingspan. I might have shortchanged you there.
You know what? We'll just accept that you did shortchange me, add 3 inches, and go from there.
I think that's
why
fine.
Why even do the work again? We can easily just
work smarter, not harder.
Add to it. Yes. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to talk about our favorite niche celebrities and what exactly that means, because it absolutely is a compliment, but it got me in a little trouble. And because of that, we're going to bring on one of my favorite niche celebrities. Well, I'll tell you who that is coming up in just a few minutes. We will also do athletes that can be movie stars. Like, as of today, if they quit, I don't want to be an athlete anymore. They could go and immediately go right to being a movie star. So we'll have that coming up in a second. And I do want to do a little Cowboys corner at some point.
Why?
And that's the question I am asking myself. Like,
I thought I was going to get a week off from this.
TJ.
But not insulting, because, again, Jerry Jones has been so kind to me because I'm from Arkansas, and he took us in. We were in the chopper with him. Mm-hmm. We were in a suite. We went all game day with him. He spent Jerry Jones and my personal relationship with him has been amazing. So I don't hate the Cowboys. I just am curious about many Cowboys things.
Yeah, me too.
So who to go to other than you and Cowboys Corner?
All right, man.
So I think that'll be good. You guys can find us on the Roku Sports Channel. You can watch us live. You can listen to us on the Infinity Sports Network. And you can listen on SiriusXM Channel 375 or stream for free on the Odyssey app or odyssey.com. And then subscribe to the page on YouTube. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. I tell you, I listen to the podcast every night. My wife knows your voices because I keep it under my pillow and no headphones because I'm rude like that. But she knows your voices. So you guys,
like your white noise machine?
Yes. Continue hanging out. I'm Bobby Bones in for Rich Eisen for another hour. Okay. So we're still on television.
Bobby, I mentioned this earlier and you're like, ask me about this.
First of all, you asked me, and I didn't say, I said, ask me on microphone.
You didn't say anything. Yeah, you said you asked me on the air.
I didn't bring it to you and say, hey, ask me.
No, you didn't. Okay, no, good. I literally said something.
There's a difference in what you're going to ask me.
True. I'll rephrase. Yes. I said, hey, I said this question, and then you were like, you paused for a minute, like you had an answer, and then you're like, ask me on the air.
Yes.
So if you ever got to the point where you had to start an OnlyFans, what would your theme be?
My theme would be shoes. Because do you want me to be naked? Because it's not, I wouldn't be naked.
No.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I don't want you to be naked. Sure. I just want that to be known.
Here's what I have. I have two things that people care about. I have a bulldog and have a lot of shoes. The bulldog's name is Stanley because he looks like Stanley from The Office.
Okay.
When he was a puppy, I was like, it looks like Stanley from The Office. So the bulldog, because people love the bulldog content. And then I have way too many pairs of shoes. Didn't grow up with much money, so never had cool shoes. So as soon as I started making money, I started buying shoes. And so I think they would probably be look at my shoes and look at my bulldog. I would do look at my wife, but she would kill me.
The shoes today was one of the first, probably the first thing I noticed when I walked in this morning. You were in the back, and I'm like, whoa, look at those.
Yeah, they're Gucci slippers.
I'm a size 11. Cool, it's all good.
Are you 11? Me too.
Hey,
look at that.
Were those slippers or the slides though? Because I didn't see slides. A heel.
They're slides. But casuals would call them slippers.
I'm a casual.
When it comes to Gucci, we're all casual.
We're all
casual.
We're all casuals, man. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you're thinking.
I'm going to tell you.
I got Gucci.
I'm not so
slippers.
Much anymore. Because when you don't have something your whole life, and all of a sudden you have some resources, like Yves Saint Laurent.
Oh.
Your casual will call that Saint Laurent.
Oh, look at you.
But me, I would call it Yves Saint Laurent.
Oh.
Because
I would call it YVA's Saint Laurent. See, that's
super casual.
Like Denethes too, TJ. I want a croissant.
Hey, we just went to Paris.
Croissant.
Two weeks ago.
Isn't it great?
The tea is silent, Nick.
I travel anywhere my whole life. It's awesome. Never would have thought that I would actually like somewhere.
Oh, I would move there.
It's incredible. We went to Austria. Never been. It's
incredible.
It's clean. The people are nice. Uh-huh. Everybody wants to help you. You feel like you're getting mugged at every corner, but it's only because they're nice.
They're kind.
And it's the opposite of
here. They care about your well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a guy.
I loved Austria too.
Yeah. We took a train. I thought it was going to be one of those super lay-in-it trains. It wasn't. It was terrible. Yeah, it was terrible. So thank you guys. We're back with a whole other hour. Bobby Bones in for Rich Eisen, and we'll see you guys in just 1 second.